mean, the morale's entire sefer Neimitz was a sefer about Hanukkah, but what we've been learning until now doesn't seem to be too related. About a dream that Daniel saw, the creatures coming out of the sea, Abba Malchus. So today maybe we'll get a little bit Hanukkah dick, look over Hanukkah. Right, so the last thing we learned is that the Abra Machuyas, Dura Teitza, their product, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu distancing himself from a direct role in the world. When Kadosh Baruch Hu puts on a proverbial mask, and even though Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no place where Kadosh Baruch Hu is not, but Hashem created a world where it certainly appears that he's not, and that has an effect. Kadosh Baruch Hu withdraws from the world. He withdraws from the appearance of being in the world. I keep saying that because Hashem doesn't withdraw from the world, and there's no place that he's not, but he does create an appearance as if he's not, and that's very true. So there's going to be a result. There's going to be a result. When Kadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol withdraws from the world, so then the Nechashim Nakravim come out, the four Keiches that they deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in the world, they emerge from that. So the Bria of the Abra Malchuyah is that the Etzem Bria, their essential role in creation, is to cover up Hashem in one of four different ways. That was, their creation was not a direct creation by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're called the Poel Yetzeh. The creative Mimela, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, when Taiv takes a step back, so it creates a vacuum, and that creates things that are not Taiv to fill the vacuum. But the Maisa, there's two, the Medrash says that these four creatures, they could emerge from one or two places. They could emerge from the sea, they could emerge from the forest. Emerging from the sea means that their creation has no substance, because the sea is not a makom yishuv. So it's like something that was created from the water, that it could have form for a few milliseconds. It's not really much of a form. Something's created from the water, it's just going to fall apart. Or they could emerge from the forest. Even though the forest is a place that people don't live, but people could live there, they're just afraid to live there. So the Medrash says that for Zeicha they come from the water, for not Zeicha they come from the forest. That's what we explained last time. That it's up to us to determine how our enemies oppose us. It's up to us. And this is something which is a lot of sources, that the fear of something increases whatever is feared, the ability of whatever is feared to affect you. If someone doesn't fear anything, if our fear is totally reserved for God, and if we're really, 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 really on that madriga, then nothing could touch us. That's reality. That's being in touch with reality. If Hashem wants something to happen to us, it's going to happen anyway. If Hashem doesn't want something to happen to us, then nothing anybody wants to do could change that. And that's reality. That's reality. Because we don't live in reality. We have our fears, the irrational fears, as if that there's no supreme being running the world, that someone could actually hurt us. You know, so when we believe that someone could actually hurt us, we are actually enabling whatever it is that we're afraid of. So if we believe that the four nations actually have their own power, they have their own power, and they could use the power against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they could use the power against the Avdei Hashem, so our belief invests them with that power. So we are taking four animals that they're really created from the water, which means they're really not much more than a mirage, and we are giving substance to their creation, and it's ke'ilu they're created from the forest. Right? That was what we talked about last time, more or less. I think a little bit more. Not so much less. A little bit more than that. What?
Does that mean then, if the Roman Empire comes to destroy the base of Mikdash, everyone's like,
You don't really exist.
You don't exist.
Go poof.
They'll go poof. Poof? They're, go they're poof. A whole empire. They're
they'll
people.
Go poof. Yeah,
the army.
Poof.
Poof?
I mean, if we would have had the Amunah, when the Romans took their juggernauts to smash against the walls, it just would have gone poof.
Like he who must not be named, the Havdil.
Well, the fear of mentioning a name increases the fear in the one itself. Mm-hmm. This is essential betachen. That the keichas hara can only affect a person according to the shia that the person believes in the keichas hara. But that was that you said. So that means be'etzim the creator from the water. That's the way Daniel saw them. Daniel saw the etzim. He saw their essential nature. But we can give them more substance than they're given at their creation. We can make our enemies more substantial. Next Nakuda. Daniel had his prophetic vision, and Nebuchadnezzar also had a dream, and their dreams had something in common. Their visions had something in common. They both saw things in force. Daniel saw four creatures coming out of the sea. Nebuchadnezzar saw one creature in the form of a man that was made up of four different materials. And they were seeing the same thing. Daniel was seeing the four nations as they truly are. Because they're animals. They're not people. They're animals. It's us to kill them. Because they look like people. They have a tzuras adam. And anyone with a tzuras adam, then they have dinim. But that's just the way their form is a form of a person. They're animals. They're animals in the form of people. They're missing a mila which is called mila ha'alukis ha'nivdalis. The man has components. Each and every one of them has to do with this world. And when we say components, we're not just referring to the body, but even the soul. There are many parts of man's soul that are only relevant in this world. There's a part of the soul that's responsible for eating or hunger. That has nothing to do with Olam Haba. There's no eating and hunger in Olam Haba. So there's even spiritual parts of it. People have physical parts and spiritual parts that are mirrored in animals. Animals have the same thing. Animals also have spiritual parts. They're mirrored in animals. And then we also have a spiritual chelik, which has nothing to do with this world. There's a part of us that doesn't relate to this world. It doesn't like this world, doesn't want this world. Doesn't have anything in common with it. And that's called the Milas HaLakis HaNivdalis. That's called the level, the godliness, the level of godliness, HaNivdalis. Nivdalis means it's above, it's separate. Nivdalis is the Lashon of Havdalah. So it's beyond. That we have a part of us that's totally beyond anything that we are in this world. And Goyim don't have that. So I mean, the guf and the neshamas all relate to this world. So in that respect, they're similar to animals. They're not animals, but they have something in common with animals, because just like an animal, his neshama of an animal only enables the animal to do things in this world. The animal has a life force. There's only one thing that life force enables an animal to do: eat, procreate, eliminate waste. That's about it. To run after something that you can eat. To eat it. Any spiritual part of that animal is a total slave to the body of the animal. It's enslaved. It's subservient to the body of that animal. And it has no other purpose but to keep the animal alive. The neshama of the animal The soul of the animal is subservient to body to help it thrive, to keep it alive, to help it survive, and that's it. There's nothing that spiritual force the animal does to the animal that earns it a place in Olam Haba. It doesn't do it. So Gaim also, they have spiritual components, but their spiritual components are all harnessed towards one thing, keeping the body safe, keeping the body well, thrive, allowing the body to thrive. They have something in common with animals, and that's where the Neil saw them as an animal. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, didn't see these four components as animals, he saw them as a person, because you see what you want to see. You see things through the eyes of your own perspective, or the perspective of your own eyes, whichever way you want to say it. The eyes of your own perspective, or the perspective of your own eyes. The prism of your eyes. Okay. Azai. Okay, built the other key. Yes, but yes, it came out. She didn't care if Marcus either. The cockery ice from the near battalion of the tourist dolls, guys. You saw them as animals. Kshara Malchus Malcha Mashiach. Roy said battalion of the tourist dolls. So Daniel did see a human figure in his dream. That's the one that came after the animals. The animals came out of the sea. So he saw four animals, four creatures. And then afterwards he saw a man. That man is Mashiach. So that's parallel to Tayu, Bayu, Chayshah, Pnei Saim. That's the four Malchias. And it says, Ruach HaLakim Rachavis HaPnei Amayim. That's the man called Mashiach that emerges afterwards. So the Malchus of Malcha Mashiach, the entire Malchus, is going to be focusing on Ruchnius. Just the opposite. If there is any Gashmius, the Gashmius is there for the Ruchnius. So they're using the soul to get food to eat. You use the soul to learn Torah, but you can't learn Torah without eating, so then the body goes to get the food to eat. So that's why he said Malcha Mashiach is an Adam, because Malcha Mashiach has Elokila Gamri, that not only the spiritual parts of Malach HaMashiach are involved in spiritual pursuits, but even the physical parts of Malach HaMashiach are subservient to the spirit in spiritual pursuits. And that's an Adam. And that's the definition of an Adam. The definition of an Adam is all the Chalakim and Adam are all Misachai, they all come together as one for the needs and the wants of the soul. That's a good definition. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he saw them as a man. The head was gold, the shoulders were silver, the lower extremities like the stomach and the intestines, and the upper legs is nechoshes, which is copper. The bottom of the feet is iron, and the feet themselves are a mixture of iron and earthenware. Because by Nebuchadnezzar, the fact that the Ruchnius is subservient to the Gashmius, to him it's not a chasara. That's the way it's supposed to be. But what do you think Ruchnius is for? Ruchnius is to help me win blackjack at the casino table. It takes a lot of sake. You have to count cards. You're not getting quarter counting cards, and they watch you. They catch you watching cards, they throw counting cards, they're out. So you need a big neshama for that. You need a great big neshama for that to win. It's got to be very smart. It's got to be crafty. It's got to be talented. So that's what the neshama is for. So to him, if he sees animals that come out of the sea, and the animals they have a nature of an animal that the ruchnius is in the service of the gashmius, so the ruchnius doesn't call that an animal. He calls it a man. That's the definition of a man. A man is an animal. Not us. A man, an animal, just, you read about this gorilla named Coco? Coco the gorilla, K-O-K-O. There's two researchers named Ron Cohn and Francine Patterson. I like this Coco. They live with this gorilla. They've been living with this gorilla for a decade. and they've taught the gorilla a number of words in sign language. They taught the gorilla sign language, and they say that the gorilla has the vocabulary of like a three-year-old. And Coco signed to them that he wants something. He wanted a kitten. He signed the sign for kitten, so they bought Coco. They
needed.
No, brought Coco a kitten, and he plays with the kitten. He wanted it. You know, this is what they own. This is Ron Cohen. He's probably Jewish, of course. Hey, that's the same. But to him, so the difference between Coco and a man is that Coco has the mental faculties of a two-year-old. And a man, depending on how old he is, has the mental faculties. If your mental faculties somehow convince you to stay in the cage with a gorilla, then you're probably not as smart as the gorilla. It's, you know, so that's the way I look at things. So Hashem showed a vision. He showed the same vision to Daniel as he showed it to Nebuchadnezzar. That Nebuah's concepts. Hashem shows a concept, and concepts, you know, when one sees a concept, they understand it based on the way they see it. Hashem shows the same thing, and Daniel saw something less than a person. And Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, that is a person. It depends on what your definition is of a person. So that's when Nebuchadnezzar saw it as a man, because that's how he defines a man, that a man is the same as an animal. Just a little bit more precious. So you're made out of precious metals. So, you know, Daniel saw that some people are like animals and some people are like people. Like Melech HaMashiach is like a person. And the Abba Machuyas, the four great dynasties, are all animals. So he saw animals and people. He saw Melech HaMashiach. And Melech HaMashiach is not just Melech HaMashiach. It's anybody that strives to be like Melech HaMashiach. Is going to be a person. But Nebuchadnezzar, everybody looked like people. Everyone looks like Melech HaMashiach. Now, there was another nafkamin between Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel's dream, that Daniel saw those four distinct creatures, distinct from one another, coming out of the water and going in four different directions. And Nebuchadnezzar saw them all as one person. So that's another message. Hashem was showing Nebuchadnezzar something. Remember I told you once the Bnei Yisachar is a famous Bnei Yisachar at Hanukkah. That the four nations, they oppose Klal Yisrael in four different ways. Which means to try to cover over God's role in creation in four different ways. There's four different ways to try and extinguish the light that Kadosh Baruch Hu shines in the world through Klal Yisrael. And one of them is to oppose the ability of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has the ability to be Mesak in their Nefesh. By being Karbanos. So Bava, they don't like that. They don't want Klal Yisrael to be able to be Mesak in the Nefesh. They don't want Klal Yisrael to have the closest with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. They don't want Klal Yisrael to be able to do tshuva, because that brings the Kadosh Baruch Hu into creation, so they want to block that. So they destroy the Beis HaMikdash, because that's the place where Kabbalahs take place, where the Nefesh and Mesukim. Paras HaMadai, they're not interested in destroying the Beis HaMikdash. And they're not interested in converting Judaism to their side. They want to kill them. Paras HaMadai joined together with Haman. They made an alliance with Amalek. They just want to kill the Guf of Klal Yisrael. And like we said from the Vilna Gaon, that the Lahar Lahashman La'abed is they wanted to destroy the Jewish body. So that's the Guf. Then you have Yavam, which is Kanaka. That Yavam didn't want to kill the Jewish body. Not at all. And Yavin didn't want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash where the Nefesh of Klal Yisrael gets a tikkun. No, they left it. Yavin left it. Yavin was going after the mind of the Jewish nation. The thinking. That people shouldn't think thoughts that are above this world. Superior thoughts. Okay, you want to know what the definition of Kiddush is? A beautiful melody. Melody. That's holy. There's nothing outside of this world. Everything has to be in this world. What they worship is harmony and beauty. It's so beautiful. It's so holy. It's so deep. But it's in this world. It's attainable. So they wanted to wipe out anything that's above that. And the seichel of a Jewish person is above that. The seichel of a Jewish person is capable of going very, very far and very high and very deep. And they didn't want anyone to go further than they went. You know, to them, their definition of Kedusha is beauty. That's how they define Kedusha, is beauty. Beauty, finery, harmony, symmetry, all the ease.
Apostrophe.
All these. So they oppose the seichel. And then you have Edom. Edom doesn't have a culture of their own. Edom swallows up all the other cultures. Edom is this big vacuum cleaner. He sucks in all the different cultures. He makes one big empire out of it. So Edom opposes Klai Yisrael with the Kayak that has Bavel, Parsimadei, and Yavan all together. And that's a call. And that's what he said, that the dreidel in Chutzlaret has Nun Gimel Heshin, Nun is Nefesh, Gimel is Guf, He is Hakol, and Shin is Sichel. These are the Chalakim. That's Adam. He doesn't just oppose Klai Yisrael's mind, and he doesn't just oppose Klai Yisrael's body, and he doesn't just oppose Klai Yisrael's life force. He just opposes everything about them. Everything. He opposes everything. There's nothing about Klai Yisrael that Edom is willing to accept. So, these four machias represent Kekus in a person. Kishper and Varm are Echad Kek Sikhli. The highest part of the person is his mind. And lower than that, Kek Nafshi. I just want to make something clear. The morale of the Nagayim and the Nefesh HaChayim, they use words for these concepts, the different Chalkei and Neshama, and the words aren't always the same in every Sefer. So you have to keep it clear, not to get mixed up. But the morale starts with the Seichel, Nefesh, Guf. And when he says Guf, he doesn't mean the actual body, he means Kayach Gufni. It's the life in the body. The guf itself is a fourth thing. The kayach guf is intertwined with the guf totally and completely. And it interacts with the guf to get what the guf needs in this world. So the kayach guf is totally in this world. So he's a gimel chalakim. So does that what it says? Elohim gimel chalakim? You have Gimel?
Okay.
It's a mistake. Gimel. You have Gimel? Elohim Gimel Chalakim. V'yesh kan oid kayach mishutaf. There's a fourth kayach of everything together. As you kail lo kal elu Gimel v'yachad. K'meshiz barachachad. It's a fourth midah. It has all the three together. They work as one. Kvabian in Il Dvarim become a Makaris Pesachos Aves Peritad Mishnachav Beis. It says Kvav there? It's got Beis. It's a Kinatav Kavad Metzinas Adam in Eilam. Vein Narek Mimakam Zer Binin Zer. Vadvarim Il Yidurin Bali Chachmo. So you have these four Kekis. He calls it Seichel, Guf, Nefesh Guf. The Maral in Pirkei Avos explains these kekes. So we can learn through this.
What's the fourth car called?
Kayak Meshutif. Being down from the Rambam, this is in Pirkei Avos Perek Revi in Sefer Derech Chaim. And the Fasha is Shalosh Tivius Gunis. Nefesh has three live natures. Kamishis Baal Amarla. Perek Revi Emer. Who is the Kredon Levraka Katsav? Shinan Devakach. You shouldn't think that somebody has that man has three souls. That's not true. Aval nefesh yachas. Man has one soul. That's it. One soul. Rak sheyesh lo kekes mechulakim. Its powers, its abilities are split up. Within the one soul, there's three side by side natures that the the function within the soul. So pulasa bekeksa and pulas mukulakis. And what comes out of these midas produce actions, and the actions are all complex. So we have three nefashas, and each one of we have one nefesh, but our one nefesh has three natures that are responsible for accomplishing different things. Ubiya in the game of Kayakasila Kayaktivi, we start with the lowest one. Kayaktivi means the power of nature. Well, Kayak Shemakabal, it's a Kayak that Shemakabal Hazana. Hazana is Mazanis. In order to eat, you have to be alive. You don't have to think. In fact, when you feed someone through a food tube, he's digesting. Or even intravenous. There is some kind of process that's breaking it down and turning it into energy. And you're not doing that. It's your car that did it. You didn't do it. So you have a kayak TV. So the first kayak, the lowest kayak, is the kayak that allows a person to digest and to eat. And the body, it's a complex system that it eliminates things that the body doesn't need, sends them out of the body. It governs whether a person is going to be short or tall or fat or skinny. Those things are there. He said, "Mikayek zeh ba taiva." As it says, he talks about kind of taiva and karma. So this kayak, the first kayak, the lowest kayak, it's just for the instincts. You're hungry, you want to eat. So where does hunger doesn't come from a conscious decision to be hungry? It just is. So that's the bottom kayak. And then there's another kayak. Yeah, but the bottom kayak, you don't have to go anywhere to have it. You could sit at home on your couch with your remote and your beer. And you can be hungry. There's no purpose to being hungry. There's no purpose to filling yourself. I just don't want to be hungry anymore, so I eat. What's the goal? I don't have a goal. I just don't want to be hungry. That's not a goal. That's a negative. The type is achila. Any type of. Is a very, it's for the type of achila, the type of nus, the type is I need, I want, I have to have. Because I'm going to stay here and everything has to come to me. I want my wife to bring me the beer.
Sandwich.
Correct? I stay on the couch and I want my wife to bring me the beer. And she should bring it chilled during commercial time. You shouldn't pass in front of me while the game is going on. Then I won't be able to see. I might miss Peyton Manning blowing a 24-point lead or something like that. Ridiculous. I'll let you. You know, you don't want to miss that. So the Kaya HaTaiva is that you want things to come to you. I mean, all right, so there is a certain amount. A person will go out and do something to get Taiva, but the end result is he's going to go out to get it and then bring it back. He'll go out and shoot a deer and slip it back to his cave, you know. It's still to bring it back to you. That's what time is. I want to absorb something. I want to take something. But that's a very, very low level of neshama. You're not accomplishing anything. You're not doing anything. You're not going anywhere. You're not going from one place to the next. You're not advancing. You're not... Nothing. You're just absorbing things. You're inhaling things. It's an expression to inhale food. You know, if you eat it very quickly, you inhale it. It's very appropriate. Someone else says that kayak is the kayak of Mazin. Kayak tivi, it's natural. And it's responsible for the kidneys functioning properly and the liver, because that takes out the good parts and throws away the bad parts. And it's malachas bar. Takes the eichel, throws out the psilis. She absorb what you're supposed to absorb and not absorb what you're not supposed to absorb and not go anywhere, not do anything, not accomplish anything. It's responsible for growth. That's also growth. If you don't do anything with it, just take up more space. It makes you grow wider. It makes you grow taller. Me, it made me grow shorter. Kayak TV. And the part of the body that it's mechubar to is the liver. Because that's what the liver does. The liver is affiliated with taiva achila. That's what the blood is. Liver is blood. The liver is made up of blood cells. It's made up of blood. Then there's another kayak, which is a little bit higher. And that's, gives you life. And because of this kayak, you can go from one place to the next. If we wouldn't have that part of our nature, if we wouldn't have this chelik which is higher, we would never be able to move. We wouldn't even want to. There would be no point. We're here. Why should you know? There's a nature of a person that he wants to advance. He wants to grow. He wants to get somewhere. He wants to make it. And it manifests itself in good and bad ways. But that's a chelik in the neshama that it has to do. Not with growth and not with ingesting. It has to do with movement, to go from one place to another, to advance, to learn more, to study more, to become a bigger person. These are all advances. You can advance in geographically, you can advance in time, you can advance in levels, and that's all from the same kayak, that's a little bit higher. And the midah is to come out of it, like to take revenge against somebody, to be jealous of somebody, to hate somebody. So that's something that you have to go outside of yourself to do that. You know, someone did something to you, you want to take revenge against him, you go after him, you get him, you eliminate him. Mm-hmm. So that's something that you have to actively pursue. You have to be actively pursue somebody and go somewhere. And again, it can be used for a good thing or a bad thing. The bad meters of kinna and sinna. They don't come from that first level. The first level, it doesn't really care about anything. There's a part of the neshama that doesn't really care about anything. Just feed me. It's very uncomplex. It's very uncomplicated. have a time for, to experience a sense of fullness, pleasure. And these other things like jealousy, zealousness, that's very foreign. There's a certain part of the person that doesn't relate to that. And there's another part of the person which does relate to that. And then there's something above that, which represents logic. Jealousy isn't always accompanied by logic. You know that. It's not always logical to take revenge. It's not always logical to be jealous. I don't know, if you have been talking, how can you be jealous if everyone gets what they deserve? So these are three chalakim, so the Maral calls them, in his lexicon, so he calls them, Sechel, Nefesh, and Guf. And then of course there's the body. The body is not one of the madrigas. There's the Kayach HaGuf, there's the Kayach HaNefesh, and the Kayach HaSeichel. Now, Reb Chaim V'Lashon also has these breakdown in pretty much the same way. But he calls Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh. Neshama is the Seichel, Ruach is this Kayach of Kena, Sina, which is in the heart, by the way. Seichel is attached to the brain. The Ruach is attached to the heart, and then he has the Nefesh, which is the blood or the liver. But see, that's why when you're learning Nefesh HaChaim, or you're learning the Maral, you have to take note of this, that what the Nefesh HaChaim calls the Ruach, the Maral calls the Nefesh. And what the Nefesh HaChaim calls the Nefesh, the Maral calls the Kech Guf. So they're talking about the same thing, they have different labels. You have to keep that in mind. Yeah, this, you know, there's Seichel, they're both the same. And Seichel, both the same. And then the level below Seichel, according to Kavalashin, is Ruach. According to Maral, it's Nefesh. And then the level below that, the Maral calls it Nefesh. Kayak Benefesh. Kayak Benefesh. Kayak Seichel. And the level below that, so Kavalashin calls that Nefesh. And the Maral calls it a Kayak Beguf. And then the Guf, they're both called Guf. So this is like, it should help you somewhere along the line. Don't get confused. So he said that's connected to your Kin Taiva Kavod, Maitzin Asadam and Eilam. So Taiva is the Kayak Beguf, Kina is the Kayak Benefesh, and Kavod is Seichel, obviously. Animals don't have that, because animals don't have Seichel, they don't have a desire for honor. Kin Taiva Kavod, that's what the Maral is talking about in the Sefer Derechaim. And then there's one more Madrega. That's Yisrael. Tzalem Elokim. A Gentile, he has the Kayak Beguf. And he also has the Kayak Benefesh. And he also has Sechel. And that's why he's Betzuras Adam. He's Betzuras Adam because he has Sechel. But that's all he has. A Yid has something. You know, the Seichel of a Gentile relates to this world. The emotions of a Gentile, anger and jealousy, relate to this world. And certainly the bodily needs of the Gentile relate to this world. But the Yid has a fourth Chalik. It's called Seichel HaNivdal. That we have part of our mind that has nothing to do with this world. It's a waste. It's mamish a waste. It's a part of our mind that if we would be destined to live in this world forever, that part of our mind is totally wasted, because that part doesn't relate to anything physical. We have a part of our mind that relates to things that can't be seen, touched, smelled, or anything, or heard. And that's called the Seichel Nivdal. The Ivanim, they opposed this. They're the sin on the dreidel. They didn't oppose Seichel. They loved Seichel. They worshipped Seichel. They worshipped Seichel, but only a Seichel that helps you get ahead in this world. Only a seichel helps you appreciate this world. Only a seichel helps you acquire things in this world. But a kerech haseichel, that is totally irrelevant for to anything in this world. It rejects anything in this world. This world is only temporary. This world is not going to be in here anymore. It is a means. It's a means to an end. It's a preisdar lifnei the traklin. And that the mind of a Ben Yisrael can understand that the true existence has no connection to this world whatsoever. And that's true existence. The Yevanim did not tolerate that. They had to wipe it out. They defile the Beis HaMikdash because the Beis HaMikdash represents taking the physical things in this world and dedicating them for Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was made out of gold. It was made out of marble. But there was Kaddish. They were Makdish at first. According to the Yevanim, there's absolutely no difference between a piece of marble you were Makdish and a piece of marble which you were not Makdish. There's no difference whatsoever, because in this world, there's no difference. And don't try and tell us, one is Kaddish and the other is not Kaddish. Kedusha is not in this world. So if it's not in this world, it doesn't exist. And that's why they were Metama or the oil, because there's no difference if it's Kaddish or Tam. What are you saying? What are you making? What are you talking Narish for? It's a Narish kite that you have those hookers Tahara. There's no such thing as Tahara. It's all the same.
Why would they go through all the effort to be Metama?
Because they want to be right. This helps them be right. They're taking over the world. The matter, you know, if they conquer the Beis HaMikdash and they make the Beis HaMikdash look like they want it to look, then they're going to rule the whole world. The gematria of the Beis HaMikdash is called Hekel. Hekel is Hei Yud Chaf Lamed. Hekel means like the palace, the sanctuary. And the Gematria of Yavon is 66, the Gematria of Hekel 65. Which means that they were more powerful. Their Tumma was more powerful than the Kedusha of a Ben Yisrael taking something physical and elevating it. That's really bad. They're really, really bad. Very dangerous. The Maral says later on, hopefully this year we'll get to it, that the word Heichol is pronounced Heichol, Heichol, like with a Y. So he says it's spelled Hei Yud Chaf Lamed, but it's pronounced as if there's two Yuds. Heichol. He said, if you know Dikduk, the first Yud has a Shva Nach on it, and the purpose of a Shva Nach is to close a Tanuk Tana. It would say it is a Tumiktana, so it has to stop. There have to be two dots, the Teshua, to stop the Hey. You have to go, Hey. The Hey must be stopped, and it's stopped by the Yod. And then the Yod is used to Hey Yod Chaf Lamed. Hey Yod Chaf Lamed is a Grimatria 65, and Yavin is 66. So it means Yavin is more powerful in the physical world, Yavin wins. And if we use physical things for spiritual things, Yavin wins. Their tumor is stronger. They win. They're going to win. They're going to take us down. They're going to gain power. If that's all we are, is a nation, that the physical things in this world, we use them for spiritual purposes. So that means we're playing on the turf of the physical. So Yavin, in the world of the physical, is more powerful. But when you then the Kohen Gadol, the Chashmonaim were led by the Kohen Gadol. This is the Chashmonaim led by the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, Yisachar Avodah is not in the Beis HaMikdash. Yisachar Avodah is in the Kodesh Kodashim. And when he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim, he leaves this world. He's not taking something in this world and elevating it. He's walking out the door to another world. There's a hidden yud in the word heichol, because if you pronounce it hey yichol, that the first yud closes up the soul, the tzeri in the hey, tzuak tana tzirich liyot sigura, if you remember your dictate lessons. So you have to be hey yichol. So there's a hey yud, and then there's a yud chaflam, heichol. So you take the gematria of that, and you have 75, which is the gematria of Kohen. So the Kohen Gadol represents leaving the world. And a regular kain represents using the world for kedusha purposes. That's the difference between a kain hedget and a kain gadol. So on the turf of the, you know, if it's Yivanim against Kehanim, Yivanim are going to win. Because their gematria is, it's a similar dove, their gematria is one more, they're going to win. The power of Tumah, the power of a Gentile to attain levels of Tumah is stronger than the powers of a Kohen to attain levels of Kedusha. It's a scary thing, but that's the way it goes. But the Kehanim are Mechorba to a Kohen Gadol. They have a, we have a secret weapon. It's the hidden Yud.
So why would it be gematria Kohen?
Kohen is because the Kohanim, Kohen Gadol is the spitz of Kohuna. Nice. The spitz. You know what spitz means? He is the Kohen incarnate. The Kohen Gadol is more of a Kohen than regular Kohanim are. The four nations, they oppose the guf, the kayak beguf, the kayak menefesh, the kayak the sechel, and all the kayaks put together, and they win. Nebuchadnezzar, he won. Parsa Madai, they conquered Klal Yisrael. I mean, they didn't succeed in killing Klal Yisrael, but they did succeed in conquering Klal Yisrael. Yavon, they attacked the mind of Klal Yisrael, and Edom, they attacked everything. They're going to win because Yavin is one gematria more than Haeckel. They're going to win. They could destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But there's a hidden Yud. And that Yud has nothing to do with this world because it's not even written. You don't see it. It's not written in the Word. The Word's for Hayyud Chavlam. It's a hidden Yud. And that Yud represents that the one being in this world that can actually walk out of this world. The Kohen Gadol is the only being in the world that can leave the world while he's still alive. And he does that with the Avodah Nikatayrus. Das is Chanukah. Das is Chanukah. Chanukah is getting in touch with that part of us that has nothing to do with this world. Getting in touch with the part of us that when it says part of the Torah, it doesn't mean a cow. It means something spiritual. The mitzvahs help.
Mitzvahs of Hanukkah are geared to that?
Well, there's one mitzvah, lighting there.
Hallel and lighting.
Hallel and lighting.
And dreidel.
Yeah, it's more or less it. Yeah. So Chanukah is the opportunity, Chanukah is the time. When we look into the lights, it's brought down the Shem Kodesh, you're supposed to look at the lights. El Lores Mavad, we look into the lights, so all kinds of things can be channeled. You. Things are another world. We could be like a Kohen Gadol on Hanukkah. We're looking at the lights, we could look into another world. The light that comes into our eyes from looking at the Hanukkah is a light that's shining from another world.